when I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan
going over the hymns up there and trying to pick out what we're going to sing this morning. And I love it when something comes together and you don't plan it that way. And I remembered that I had asked Savannah to sing a song this morning. And I called her mom and I said, or texted her mom and I said, "What is Savannah singing this morning?" She texted me back what she was singing. And I thought, thank you, Jesus, it goes right in hand. Come on up here, girls. Goes right in hand with what we've been singing about this morning. I don't know why we sing these songs, but it's for somebody here this morning. You need some kind of encouragement, and I want you to hear the words as Savannah comes to sing, Angel Band.
Amen. It's good singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm really glad every person is here and you're present here this morning. And you're a very special guest in the house of God. You can say guest, but is that really a good word? Say you're God's children. And God loves you. And if you don't know Him, I will tell you this, He wants to know you. I want to read in Psalms 142, and I want to read this psalm, and then we've got a couple of different places. But this week's a little different. God gave me a thought early, and I've thought about it all week. I'm going to try to deliver to you the things that God has laid on my heart. And I was thinking of this verse. I want to read the entire psalm, but it'll be the fourth verse that we're going to concentrate on. But if you got your Bible, in Psalms 142 in verse number 1, this is a psalm or a prayer or a song of David when he was in the cave, when he was running from Saul. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him, and I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily or secretly laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now I want to go back and read the fourth verse again. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now this week I was just thinking on this verse and thinking about what David said when he was there in the cave, when he was in trouble. And this thought just came to my mind, and this is what I want to try to preach on for just a few minutes this morning, is who cares? Now, when you talk about that word or you say that word, I want you to see those two words in just a couple of different ways. The first one, if I say who cares? A lot of times it's looked at like this. It's just an apathetic statement that is made that sometimes people will make. It's like this. It's when you're trying to speak to someone and they're not wanting to hear what you have to say and they just say, whatever. You know, we've all heard that. We've all seen that and we've been around that. It's like saying this, I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to do whatever I want. But what about when you're talking to somebody and you're sharing something with them? And I've seen this done in serious ways. I've seen it done in times of trouble. I've seen it done when I wouldn't understand why people would respond this way. But they'd just say, who cares? You see, we're kind of living in one of those worlds today. We're living in a world today to where the things that we hold dear and that we hold in sanctity are being rejected or changed by the world. Or morality or what we hold dear is even being looked at and changed. Doesn't the Bible say in one place, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see, when someone just apathetically says, well, who cares? They're not really looking to see who cares. They're just really letting you know that they don't care. I read a story of something that happened. It was 20, 25 years ago in New York City. And sometimes this happens, and we try to warn, but we can only say so much. A young lady left home, and she moved to New York City thinking she was going to get a particular job. She got there. The job was not what she thought it would be. In the process, those people that she even went to interview with, she ended up becoming raped. And through that rape, she became pregnant and with child. She lived and she got by until the time that that baby was born, went into a hospital, had that baby. Through the help of a social worker, they found her an apartment. But you could just about imagine what kind of apartment it was. She went into this building with hundreds of other people where there were, and you've stayed in these kind of hotels, you know, where they've got the deadbolt and another deadbolt, and you can see that it's been broken to time after time. She went into this apartment and she was there and she got just a few things where they had given her a check to go and to get some things for the baby. And the very first day she was broken into. Everything that she had in the apartment was stolen. So she went out and she got herself a dog, a German Shepherd. So she's here in the apartment. She's got the German Shepherd. She's got the baby. She's trying to work, got her little job, got her first check. There's no food in the house. They are very, very hungry and she cannot take the baby out because it's cold and the baby had been sick. She leaves the baby there in the apartment on a blanket on the floor because everything else was stolen. And she goes out to cash her check. And when she returns, to her horror, her German Shepherd had devoured her little child. Now, I say that and you say, oh, how terrible. But can I tell you today in time that we're living in, a day and time where people say, I can't do anything about it. It's almost like saying, who cares? That's the world that we're living in today. We can't solve everybody's problems. But I want to tell you this morning, there is somebody who cares. Amen. Okay, now when we ask the question, the first one is, who cares? It's an apathetic statement. I want you to look at it as a question. Who cares? Who does care? It's an inquiry. It's an outreaching cry that sometimes when a person is in need or there's a great desire or hurt or burden in their heart, they're really looking to find out who cares. You know, people come into this church, and I know they do. You know what they're coming in for? They're really wanting to know, Brother Tommy, if we care.
Right.
You know, we get up here and we sing our songs, and I want to tell you something, choir. Y'all sound better and better, okay? Yeah. I'm proud to be a part, and now we start to sound like First Baptist now. And we come in here and we praise God and we worship, and God is in this place, and I love this singing. But can I tell you that somebody that comes through those doors that is in great need, they want to know if you care.
Amen.
It's an outreaching cry. It is a plea for support. And folks, it is a cry for help. Now look at it as this. And this is what I want to be able to get to today. Who cares? I want to tell you as an exclamatory answer to a question. I want to tell you this morning, who cares? Because as I begin to think about this and I thought about this question, and all we got to do is look around at what's going on in the world today. Can I tell you that there are many, many people that are dealing with the feeling and the question, wanting to know who cares? Because they're feeling like this, they're saying, nobody cares about me. Now, why do people feel that way sometimes? Let's just be honest. Because they have made a mess of their life. Okay? Not everyone, but I'm just going to be honest with you, most of them. And when they know that they've made a mess of their life, they say, well, I made a mess, and nobody's going to really care because I did it. You know why they say that? Because they hear things like this. You made your bed, you lie in it. You know what you're saying? I don't care. Can I tell you, if the Lord had left me alone with every problem that I've created in my own life, where would I be? Where would I be without the mercy of God? Where would I be without the forgiveness of God? Where would I be without a Savior that loved me when I was unlovable and cared for me when I was something that the world rejected? You see, who cares if our life is a mess? Who cares if you have made bad decisions and they have left you in trouble? Can I tell you that there's people every day making bad decisions, and those bad decisions are leaving them in trouble? See, this is what the world says, and unfortunately, this is sometimes. Now, folks, we got modern-day Pharisees. I'm not one of them. But here's what they'll say. You wouldn't be hooked on drugs if you hadn't got started. You wouldn't be beat up by that man if you'd have stayed away from him when you were told to. That's what we hear. And what they're looking for when they come in, you know, and I've heard this said before, I had better friends at the bar than I do at church. Oh, not be that way. They come in and they say, who cares? Who cares? Now, how about this one? Who cares if your child is off in the world and you don't know where they're at or how to reach them? You know what people want to say? Well, if you'd have raised them right, they'd be here. Well, that's not necessarily true. Because when they get old enough that they've got a free will, they're going to do what they want to do, and it's up to you just to keep doing what you're supposed to do. We're not going to quit on God because our kids are not serving the Lord. We're going to keep serving Him anyway. And we're going to pray and we're going to trust what the Word of God says, that He would catch all of our tears in His bottle. And one day He will pour those tears out on their head and they would not be able to sleep at night, that the covers would be too short on the bed. And they'd roll out on the floor because they know that the only hope they have is in God. What about who cares if you're hurting? Who cares? Who cares if the world seems, and this is where we're at today, folks, the world seems to be closing in on you and you've almost lost the will to fight any longer. Happens every day. You see, who cares? Well, here's what I want to share with you this morning. Somebody hears your cries. Somebody hears the tears. Somebody cares. And I want to tell you the first and the foremost and the most important one this morning that cares. And His name is Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. You see, the gospel, the word means good news. And here's the gospel message. This is the gospel message. It's that it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if it's your fault, somebody else's fault, or nobody's fault. God loves you. God cares for you. And Jesus cares about what's going on in your life. When I begin to think about this, and I begin to think about, well, how do I know He cares? How do I know that Jesus cares? And I'm going to give you just a few things as quickly as I can. In the book of John, in the 17th chapter, that chapter in the book of John is where Jesus is talking to the Father. And He's talking to the Father in mine and your behalf. And He is praying to God the Father for you and for me. And in the 9th verse, He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. You see, Jesus throughout this 17th chapter, He began to pray and even understanding and looking forward. And you can remember what He said. One thing that He said when He was going to the cross, He said, if they do these things in the green tree, what will be done in the dry? What was He saying? He said, right now, the Son of God is standing before them and He's preaching and proclaiming the word and they won't receive it. What's it going to be like in 2016 when people have rejected God and turned their back on God? He said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil. God is praying for you to be able to live in this world and still be able to honor and glorify Him. Amen. See, Jesus prayed for us. You go over to the Matthew chapter 5, and this is just an example because the entire Gospels are this way. But I want you to understand something. He's taught us. He's given us instruction. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, seeing the multitudes, He, speaking of Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto them. And it says, He opened His mouth and taught them. And we find there the Beatitudes, where the Lord gives us Christian attitudes that we should have. We go down and He proclaims things about the law. And as He proclaims them, He says not one jot or tittle. That's not one crossing of the T or one dotting of the I will pass from the law. And He gives us the instruction to understand that you and I and ourselves, we can't even keep it. That's why He had to come and be perfect as the Son of God on this earth so that He could be the supreme intercessor standing between us and God. So that we would be able to be seen by God the Father through the veil of His Son. So that when God looks at us, He sees us through Jesus Christ. See, not only did He teach us in His Word, but, you know, He's teaching us now. He's given us the Word of God. We've got the Bible, which is the book of direction. Okay? The book of direction. But He also said, when I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he shall guide you, and he shall teach you in all things. And God has given us of his Spirit. We feel it this morning. We look for it. We desire it. And when I come into the house of God, before I know I'm going to have to preach, or when I go up to speak to Brother Keith about the song service, folks, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? I'm saying, Holy Spirit, would you give me the words that you won't preach? God, would you help me if there's any song, if there's any movement, if there's anything in the service, that you would be glorified? Why? Because somebody needs to know that you care. You know, we know that he prayed for us. He taught us. We've got the Holy Spirit to teach us now. But I want to tell you ultimately how we know that Jesus cares for us. We know that Jesus cares because he took our place. Jesus died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the scripture says, "For he hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In another place, the scripture says that while we were yet sinners. You know, sometimes people say, well, they'll care if I come in and I look like them. And then they come in and they need God and they want God and they're absolutely afraid to reveal any weakness. They don't want you to know what the past failures are in their life. They don't want you to know what they've done or where they've been, because they need God and they need help so bad that they're afraid if they reveal it or it's exposed that we won't love them the way we say that we will. But here's what I want you to know about Jesus Christ. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ went to the cross knowing everything about everybody, past, present, and future. And I'll say this. Some of us holy rollers, been in church all our life, you know, went to church before we knew what church was. When we fail, and we do, it doesn't surprise God. He already knows. You see, he loves us where we are, like we are. And how do I know he loves me? How do I know he cares? He didn't die for me when I had it figured out. He died for me when I was in my worst state. Well, where's Jesus now? How do we know he cares right now? I mean, Jesus is not physically walking here, but he did. About 2,000 years ago. Where's he at now? You study through your Bible and you find time after time after time where Jesus is at. He's on the right hand of the Father. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25 says, "Wherefore he," speaking of Jesus, "is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Well, what is Jesus doing? When the devil accuses you, and by the way, he does. You can study the book of Job. You can study what Peter wrote, where the Lord told Peter, he said, "Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." But what did Jesus say? He said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." Now, folks, Peter later wrote about that in that battle. But when the devil comes up before the Lord and he accuses you and he says, "That old this one and that old that one, and they've done this and they've done that," you know what Jesus is doing? He's making intercession, seated on the right hand of the Father, and he says, "Hold on just a minute." And he looks down and says, "That's one of mine. I see some blood that's been applied down there. I see that this one has accepted me as their personal Savior, and it doesn't matter what they do. It's under the blood. It's covered. That one's mine." See, when you come in and you say, "Does anybody care?" I want you to know Jesus really, really cares for you. Well, how do we know he cares? John 14 says he's preparing a place for us. You know, we sing these songs this morning, and you know, I can't help but as we get older, you know, we begin to think about heaven. I didn't think about it much when I was 15. I was a Christian. I was saved. But I thought I was invincible. When I was 15, I'd get on top of the house and jump off. I'd grab hold of the side of the truck and hop out and land on my feet. All my uncles standing around, and they'd grab their own back, and they didn't even do it. But I realize now, I'm not going to live forever. Jesus said in John 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, folks, I don't understand everything there is to know about heaven at all. But I believe there is a heaven. And it's one thing I believe. When we get there, we're going to be satisfied. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I want it to be this way, or I think it'll be this way." I don't know, but I know this. I'm not going to get there and say, "Oh, I thought it would be like this." We're going to be satisfied. You know why? Because the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Now here's what it leads to. How do we know Jesus cares? He didn't just leave us here. He's coming back. He's coming back. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the latter part of the verse. The angels standing there and they're gazing up into heaven as Jesus is taken up from them. He said, "Why stand you here gazing up?" He said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." You go over and read in 1 Thessalonians and it tells us we need to be listening for the sounds. We need to be looking for his appearing because he's coming. You say, "Well, since the fathers fell asleep." Yeah, there's a verse for that too. He's coming. You see, Jesus cares. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter number 10 to a lawyer. Now, if you're here and you're a lawyer, I'm not criticizing lawyers. It was just a lawyer. But this lawyer come to Jesus and he says, "And what must I do? And what must I do?" In the 25th verse. And the scripture says that he tempted him. Now here's what he was doing. He was looking for a way to criticize Christ. Sometimes this is what we do. Well, you know, rather than letting the Holy Spirit of God speak to our heart and recognize that, you know, we may be a Christian all our life, maybe our heart's not right with God. Maybe we're not compassionate. Maybe we're not merciful. Maybe we're not giving God the glory for everything that we have. You know, here's what the Bible says, and even Paul wrote this. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Amen. But the scripture says that a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law, and how readest thou?" And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And when he had said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." But he, the lawyer, he said, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Can I tell you, you don't get sassy with God. You know, when you get smart with God, God has a way of getting things right where they need to be. It says, and Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought to him to an end, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thorns?" You look at this scripture and you see that there's one who tempts the Lord and he's getting sassy with God. And God gives a story. The story has a man who needs someone to care. Someone needs to care. It's not very much different than the story I told you a minute ago. There are so many people that just need somebody to care. And the scripture says in the 31st verse that a priest came by. And he passed by on the other side. He didn't want to touch him. He didn't want to get near him. Then there was a Levite. He came by. He knew the law. He knew what was written in the scriptures. He knew what should have been required of him. But he didn't care. He passed by. Then there was a Samaritan. Maybe Christ put this in there on purpose. But folks, the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. It's almost like this. When God sends a message to you, God has a sense of humor. And he'll send it by somebody that you despise. But you know good and well when it comes, it's him. Because the Holy Spirit bears witness. Well, this Samaritan, he cared. He bound up his wounds. And he took him to an inn and he took care of him. And he said, take care of him. It's almost like this. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. But I'm coming back. When I come again. Now, when we look at this scripture, he said, which one of them do you think was a neighbor? Can you imagine the old lawyer with all his education standing over there? And I just like this, all the buddies looking at him. What you going to say about that? When God moves and God speaks to us, all we can do is stand in awe of his power and his presence and allow him to teach us. Now, what does this teach us here at Hiram First Baptist Church? Now, I want to tell you, number one, Jesus cares. But I thought about this message. I want you to know, at Hiram First Baptist Church, we care. And I begin to think about this, and I thought about when we come into church. Do you know that we come into church and we're praying? We're praying that God would send somebody that has a need so that we could help them. You know, when I thought about this, what we've got up here, and you say, well, this is a stage. I want to tell you what we've done. This is an altar. Had somebody recently, they wanted to argue. Well, that's just steps. No, this is an altar. Amen. You see, one time it stopped right here. We had a rail that went right here. And I said, we need to extend that on around. We need more room so that we can pray. And then we started praying that people would pray. Amen. What? That's right. That's right. We pray that people will pray. In other words, if you need help and you need somebody that cares, you got to come to Jesus because he's standing with his arms wide open. And you're in a church where people care about you. Well, how do you know that? Well, because we have devoted Sunday school teachers. Because we have devoted Awana workers and teachers. Well, how do you know we care? Because we have a Celebrate Recovery ministry. And yes, we have people who come and they teach classes and they give their time and they work in the sound booth. And we have a team of ladies that care enough that they come every Monday night and they cook food. And they donate their time and they donate their resources. We also have people in this church that care about the homeless ministry. And they go down there every Tuesday night and you know, well, why do they go? Well, you know, they get recognized by the governor. No, they don't. They go down there and they give of their time and they give of their resources to sometimes to people. And you know what this is like in ministry. They may not care about you. But when you do what you do for the honor and glory of God, that's where your reward comes from. They go down and they help people that are homeless, that have nothing, that are just like some of these that I mentioned, that come crawling out of a box, out from behind a dumpster, to come in there to get a coat that you took out of your closet because you don't even wear it. To get food. I remember when we sent the group down to the mission field in Guatemala and they came back with the pictures. And they had a big igloo cooler with a top tore off of it. And they were dipping spaghetti out of it. I can just hear some of our kids over there. Ah. You got to care. Some people in this church, they care. We have people in this church that care because they're involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And they go and they minister to kids. The honest truth is that show them disrespect.
Right.
But because they love the Lord, they love Him anyway. And they, you know what you got to do? All people need to know is how much you care. They don't know that you care about them. When they know that you care about them, they'll change the way they respond to you. It doesn't do me any good to put on my suit and quote scripture if I don't love people. My wife tells me that all the time. What else are we involved in? We got these boxes up here, by the way, and these need to be taken today and brought back next Sunday, okay? But these are going to go around the world. The little kids, they'll get this box right here, and it'll have maybe a pair of footy socks in it, maybe a pair of flip-flops, maybe a yo-yo. Now, I tell you, I don't think there's going to be any iPods in here. They're not going to be any cell phones in there, but I guarantee you when they open it, they're going to be more excited when they get it than your kids are with what they get on Christmas morning. We care. People in this church are involved with the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Paulding County, Douglas County, and Cobb County. Can I tell you that there are churches in this county, and by the way, I've said it before, this church per capita has fewer churches than any county in Georgia. But there are churches in this county, and my wife was a volunteer at the Crisis Pregnancy Center for years. She worked down there. She was involved with the walk. We were involved with her banquet. And there were churches that would say, those people have done that to themselves. We're not getting involved with that ministry. Wow. You know what they're saying? We don't care. That's why people have the attitude that they have. I want to tell you, at Hiram First Baptist Church, we care. Amen. We have outreach ministry to our community. Now, church, I want to commend you. It's a blessing for me to be here. Last Sunday evening, we had a fall festival here at the church. And I would venture to say we probably, I know we had over 500 people here. I figured we probably had 700 people here. You know, people would pull up just like I expected them to with a carload of little youngins. And they'd get out and, you know, you'd know good and well if you said, well, you can get an armed man for $20 and you can do everything. You know what they'd do? They'd say, kids, we got to go. Kids, we can't do this. We don't have. You know what? Like, what you know, people say, well, they got four or five youngins, they ought to know better than that. You ought to love them better than that.
Amen. Wow.
And they take those little children, and that some of them were surprised when they looked at us, and they say, you mean it's free? We care. The world don't care. The devil don't care. But I want you to know that Jesus cares about you and whatever's going on in your life. He loves you. And we're here this morning. I love going to church. I love to preach. But if you don't get what God has for you, that's your fault. Because we care. And this church cares. That's why we have a spring fling. And we have a Bible school. And people come down here and work for months. Decorating the stage so that when little kids come in, they think they're at Disneyland. Well, they walk up here amongst the stuff. Now, I know y'all are doing this. Ooh, don't touch that. Don't touch that. But they're infatuated. And we do that and we see them. You know why you do it? Because you care. If you're here this morning and you want to know if somebody cares, we care about you.
Yeah.
And before I accepted Christ as my Savior, I want to tell you where I was. I was lost.
Yeah.
Anybody in here that was born saved? Anybody in here that had it from their birth? Everybody in here had to accept Christ.
Amen.
Remember, it's not about us. I want to ask if you would to come and get ready with a song. Remember the parable, and who is my neighbor? He said, the one you care for. The one you care for. And then he told them, and this is for me, this is for us. He said, go thou and do likewise. See, I've heard preachers say, and I know one preacher, he got to the end of his years, and I've been around all different kinds. And he said, if I could just do it over, he said, I would have helped more people. God's not called us to be His police. He's called us to be His hands and His feet.
Right.
He's called us to help people. And I want to tell you this morning, if you want to know who cares, Jesus cares. You come to Him, we can't solve your problems. But I tell you what you'll do if you come to this altar.
Yeah.
We'll pray for you.
Right.
If you would stand to your feet as she gets ready to sing. Who cares? Jesus cares. And we care. If God spoke to you and you want to pray, would you please come right now? Amen.
And I know.